go. Good evening and welcome to 3 Mile Wesleyan Church this Wednesday night. What is today? 19th day of August. I can't even keep track of the days anymore. 18th, right? 18th. 19th. I had it right the first time. How about that? 19th of August, 2026. It's been that kind of day. We welcome all of our online audience to join us. And we have a small group in our building tonight. A lot of times our online audience exceeds the number in our building. We appreciate you guys. And as always, if you have a prayer request or a comment or a question, we'd love you to click that comment button and let us know you're there. If not, just click the like button. Give us a heart. Give us a like. Give us a thumbs up. We appreciate our online audience. And first, I want to remind everybody, Christian will be here this coming Sunday, August, whatever the day it is. I can't remember the day. I want to say 22nd, but that's probably not right. 23rd. 23rd, there we go. So Sunday the 23rd, Christian's going to be here. And I know God's got a message that he's put on his heart. And so make sure that you guys are able to hear his message this coming Sunday. All right. Forgetting the dates. No more dates tonight. Tonight's devotional is entitled, The Peace That Comes From God. The Peace That Comes From God. You know, this week I got onto some news websites just to get a feel for what's going on in our community and in our country. And you might not be surprised to hear that almost without exception, the stories that I saw were all negative stories. Right? Everybody contain your state of shock, right? Everybody back off. So without even clicking on the headlines, I saw lots of different articles. I saw an article about a city mayor who's being charged with fraud. I saw a story on the death of a famous musician. I saw a story about an industrial tragedy that killed a number of blue-collar workers. I saw some more high-alert type of messages regarding the ongoing war in Iran. I saw a story about escalating political tensions between, you know, the great divide that's in our country. And all kinds of other stories about scandals and problems in the world. And you might have heard it said that all the news today is bad news. And it certainly seems that way. It seems that way. Well, in the world of broadcast journalism, the people who are in charge, they fully understand that bad news is what gets all the clicks and the likes and the comments. It's not the good news. The bad news gets all the attention. And these people also fully understand that advertisers are willing to pay them money, but only when there's lots of clicks, lots of likes, lots of comments. So these guys in the media business, they're just doing what anyone else would do in their position. They're simply following the market, bringing in the money. They're doing what it takes to bring in the dollars. And so while truly not all the news is actually bad news, it is the bad news stories that get all the attention because that's what drives the profit margins. And that's an unfortunate reality that we live in today. It's unfortunate. And this is why people say, don't sit there and watch the news all day long. You guys agree with this? Don't sit there and watch it all day long. Man, it'll be depressing. It's bad news after bad news. If you watch it all day long, that means we're filling our minds with bad news stories that might leave us living in anxiety and living in fear in a world that seems to have lost its collective mind. And as we continue to study in the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul tells us that there is a cure for the anxiety and the fear that comes from living in this crazy world. And that cure requires us to draw our focus away from the temporary events of this world and instead to refocus our eyes and ears on the permanent truths of our God. So if you've got your Bibles with you, open up your Bibles to the book of Philippians. I'll be reading from chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, as we read the encouragement that Paul gives to the early church in Philippi as he closes out his letter. Final chapter. Philippians chapter 4, I'll be reading from the New International Version. Philippians 4, beginning in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Thus reads the Word of God. Father, as we open up the book of Philippians tonight and we read what the Apostle Paul wrote 2,000 years ago, Lord, we know that these truths are active today as much as they were when they were written. God, we just pray that you guide us as we open up your Word. God, we pray that you teach us tonight. In Jesus' name. In this letter to the church in Philippi, Paul, the Apostle Paul, tells the church repeatedly to rejoice. Why does he say that? Is it because a rare positive news story somehow made its way across the wire in the Philippi news? Is it because suddenly everything in the world is peaceful and happy? Is it because all of the problems in that town have suddenly been washed away? The answer is no. Of course not. No. Paul reminds this early church that their true joy is not tied to the latest news story. It's not tied to their current circumstances in life. He reminds them that their true joy is tied to an unchanging, permanent relationship with the God who created us. Our joy comes from the hope and a future that God delivers to every single believer. That joy cannot be taken away because it is permanent. While all of the bad news stories that we hear, all the bad news stories that we see online, they're all temporary. And Paul's reminding this early church, you have something that's better. You have something that's permanent. You have something that cannot be taken away. And then in verse 5, Paul tells this young church, let your gentleness be evident to all. Your gentleness. That means that we should be content with those around us. We should be generous to those around us. It means that we should be lenient and merciful to the people in our lives. You know, even the ones that are always screwing things up. We need to have patience. It means that we should be patient and gracious and humble to all of those within our sphere of influence. Paul reminds them, the grace has been extended to you. You should extend grace to the people in your lives. And then at the very end of verse 5, Paul reminds us that the Lord is near. Repeatedly, the Word of God reminds us that the Lord encompasses His believers with His presence. The Lord is a friend who is closer than a brother. The Lord is the one who never leaves us and never forsakes us. The Lord is near. But what about all the anxiety that the world causes? How do we deal with it? Paul says, don't be anxious, but in every situation, bring your prayer requests to God. Paul mentions two of the type of prayers right here in verse 6. Paul says, bring those prayers of petition and prayers of thanksgiving boldly to God. Another type of prayer is the prayer of intercession. He says, bring them boldly to God. Boldly approach the throne of grace, the Bible says elsewhere. You see, if we truly are not trusting God's wisdom, if we truly don't trust God's power, if we truly don't trust God's heart, then we will be just like the world, fretting and worrying about everything that comes and goes. But the antidote to anxiety is found by delighting in the Lord and meditating in His Word. And what's the result again when we follow the Bible and bring our request to God? I find this phrase to be one of the most profound verses in the Bible. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. When we trust our God, when we place our faith in Him, when we bring our thankful attitudes to Him, when we have unwavering confidence in our God that He is willing and able to do what He promised, to do what is best for His children, then the peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds. And you see this phrase, Paul says, this is a peace that transcends all understanding. You might ask, what in the world does that mean? That's a crazy word, transcends. Well, it means that God's peace has a divine origin. It's not based on human intellect. God's peace is powerful. It's calming. It's not based on human logic or human reasoning. In other words, you can't arrive at God's peace by simply thinking your way to it. Real peace does not come from within. It comes from the God who loves us. And next up is the part where Paul encourages us to refocus our eyes and our ears. Let us continue reading in verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Scripture is teaching us, don't focus on the bad news. Focus on these things, this list, these adjectives that Paul gives us. Focus on what is true, what is noble, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is admirable. Well, where do we find these things? Well, true things are obviously found right here in God's Word. Noble things are the ones that are worthy of respect, that are worthy of our adoration. Things that are just, things that are right, are the things that are proper and in line with our God's standard of holiness. Things that are pure are those that are clean and undefiled by the world. Things that are lovely are those things in our lives that are kind and gracious and pleasing and amiable. And finally, the things that are admirable, these are the things that are thought highly of. In fact, the King James Version translates this as things of good report, or things that are reputable. And then Paul reminds this early church that all of this knowledge has to be put into practice. Paul is the Christian role model for these young believers. Paul says, take the truths that I've taught you. Take what you've received, whether by word or by deed, and do what you know is right. And what is the result of thinking about the proper things and choosing to do what is right rather than what is convenient? The last words of verse 9 are, the God of peace will be with you. You know, I've heard this in a workplace. This is not out of the Bible. Somebody said the definition of integrity is doing the right thing even when no one's watching. Doing the right thing when no one's watching. Well, we know that our God is always there and always present with us. But that's, even the world understands, that's a definition of integrity. Paul says, the God of peace will be with you. So let me ask you a question as we close here tonight. Do you need peace in your heart? Do you desperately need the peace that the Bible describes here? I said before, I have that peace in my heart, and I don't want to live a single day without it. I don't know how the world does it. I'll be honest with you guys. As a born-again believer, God has given me a hope and a future for what's coming down the pike. I don't know how the rest of the world handles it. What do they have to look forward to? They don't have the hope and the future that we have. One day we will have a resurrected body. We will be with Jesus for all eternity. The world does not have that hope. How do they live every day without that hope, without that future? How do they live without the peace in their heart? I go to bed every night. I sleep great at night. I don't worry about anybody. I don't beg, borrow, or steal from anybody, and I sleep great at night because God has put His peace in my heart, the peace that transcends all understanding. I don't want to live without that peace. I don't know how anybody in the world can live without that peace. Do you need peace in your heart? Do you need calm in the middle of the storm? When life seems confusing, when life seems totally meaningless, our God is a God of clarity. Our God is a God of purpose. The peace that transcends all understanding is available to everyone who believes. In fact, I use this phrase frequently when I have a family member or a friend who's lost a loved one, and they are usually on the day of the funeral when you know it's a really hard day for the family, a really hard day. Sometimes just a little, a text message, just a little note that says, "I'm praying that the peace that transcends all understanding will be with you and your family on this difficult day." You'd be amazed at the response that you get back when you say something like that. Those are words right out of the Bible. The peace that transcends all understanding is available to us. The peace that transcends all understanding is available to everyone who believes. And as we close out this evening, I encourage everyone to place their trust in the one true God. We don't have to live in fear. We don't have to live in uncertainty. Our God is in control. I heard a song years ago, and I can't remember how the lyrics go, but it's something like, when you can't see God's plan for your life, and when you can't hear His voice, and you don't see the next step, when you can't see those things, trust His heart. Trust His heart. Our God is trustworthy. The older I get, the more I can look back on my life and see where God was trustworthy and all the things that he guided me to do, or He tried to guide me. Sometimes I said no. He was always there acting on my behalf. He was always there with me. He is trustworthy, I promise you. If anybody's watching here tonight, if you do not know this God, if you do not have a relationship with this God, you can have that beginning right now. Repent of your sins. Turn to God for forgiveness. Ask Him to take His blood of Jesus Christ and sprinkle it upon your soul, that you may be forgiven of all of your sins. And you will, one day you will be declared righteous in His presence and live with Him for all eternity. That is available to every single human being. The peace that transcends all understanding is available to every single human being. Our God is in control. And as we close here tonight, we sing a song, and I'm not even sure whose song it is, but it goes something like this. I may not know what a day may bring, but I know who brings the day. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, we are grateful for Your faithfulness. You are trustworthy. You are good. Father, we know that You act for your honor and for our good. Lord, we know that You work all things together for our good. God, we know that You offer every one of us the hope in the future. God, You offer every single person the peace that transcends all understanding. God, let us take our eyes off of this world, off of the events that are happening all around us, all the bad news stories. God, may we put our eyes on Jesus tonight. Father, we thank You for this promise. Thank You for the hope that You give us. And Father, if there's anyone hearing my voice tonight that does not know You, may today be the day of salvation. And we praise You, God, in all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.